Martin, I went back and pulled it up during the break on this epithet. It's an abusive or contemptuous word or phrase, a term used to characterize a person or thing. And that's what I was looking for, and this was relating to how he was talking about Rahab. So it's a term used to characterize Egypt. Okay? And obviously, a contemptuous word. Now, let's pick up with, excuse me.
Back in Psalm 87.
87?
Yeah, 87. It says, I will make mention
of Rahab and Babylon. It's talking about the same thing there, correct?
87:4.
Yeah. Okay. Egypt. Egypt's also referred to as an iron furnace.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not an iron furnace, but it's that phrase, you know, that's being used for it. In, I just ran up on that word today when I was researching in Rahab, and it said epithet, and I thought, what is, I know what epiphone is, that's the brand name of a guitar, what's epithet, you know. So, anyway, now you know. Verse 11, Psalm 90. Who knows the power of your anger? Now, this is Moses, you understand. This is a song. And he's talking to the Lord. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. You don't want God mad at you, you understand? So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Now, he's not saying, Lord, tell us how long we're going to live. That's not what he's saying. If I understand this correctly, what he's saying is make us realize the brevity of life. It doesn't matter if you live 80 years or 120 years. What's that compared to eternity, right? What is 1,000 years compared to eternity? Very brief, isn't it? And what he's saying is just teach us to realize that lifespan's short, and this time on earth is not something that we're to give our undivided attention to. But we're to realize that this is a preparation ground or a preparation time for eternity. Now, I can't go into all the detail of this because I don't know it. But in reading 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, I believe that we're rewarded for different things, and I don't know how all this is going to come about. I don't know how God's organization is in the eternal world, okay? But I believe that this life will play a role in what takes place in our next life, if I can use that term. We've already passed from death to life. You understand? I do know that. I can't comprehend all of that. But I believe that our time spent here is preparing us for something beyond this life. Okay? There are going to be people ruling as kings and priests with him, right? In the millennial reign? We could be a king, a priest, or a doorkeeper, right? I don't know. Teach us to number our days. Lord, just make us consciously aware that this is a short time. What I do here is not the important thing. It's what am I doing here in relation to eternal life. That's the important thing. Is my attention on the temporary or is my attention on the eternal? And even in this life, we must keep our attention on the eternal things. So we can get so caught up in just doing everyday things that you know, we forget about the eternal things. And I believe this is what Moses is referring to. He says, teach us to number our days that we may gain, look at this, a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord. How long? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us early or immediately, quick, soon, help. Satisfy us with your mercy that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you've afflicted us, the years in which we've seen evil. Let me tell you something. The 40 years that Israel wandered in the wilderness, they were blessed. And I believe that Moses probably had a major role in that with his intercessions. Let your work appear to your servants and your glory to the children of men, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Now, boy, that's a mouthful. I underlined that one. Boy, that's something, that the beauty of the Lord our God be upon me, upon you. And establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Well, how's he going to do that when we're doing God's work? You understand? When we're doing his work. And then that takes us to Psalm 91, which teaches us the importance of being covered by the Most High. Because in His covering, there's deliverance, there's protection, and there's also reward. It says, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, that dwells, is talking about abiding, staying, living there. Secret place actually is cover. Who dwells in the cover of the Most High, that's the Supreme, shall abide under the shade, yours says shadow, it's referring to shade, of the Almighty, Shaddai, or Shaddai. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. Shelter, that's what I'm saying. The Lord's my shelter and my fortress. It's an interesting word there. It's because it carries the connotation of a net. In other words, come after me and he'll net you, I guess. My God, Elohim, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Now, you've probably heard Jane mention this back some time ago anyway, that there's three deliverers here, and there's actually three different Hebrew words. This particular word is N-A-T-S-A-L, and it means to snatch away. Surely he will snatch you away from the snare of the fowler. In other words, he's going to get you out of there quickly, right? And the snare is a spring net, okay, for catching birds. And from the perilous or the ruinous pestilence, he shall cover you with his feathers. Actually, the word's entwine. He will entwine you with his feathers. Now, it's not that God's got feathers like a chicken, you understand, but he's using this terminology. I mean, you look at how the bird, the fowl, whatever, you don't even see their skin for the feathers, right? They're so entwined, it's covered, it's formed a tight protection for their skin, for whatever, warmth or whatever, right? He says, He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. And the word here means you go there, you run there for protection, you flee for protection. And here again, to me, that carries that connotation of the hen spreading her wings and gathering her chicks up under her. It's not that God has wings, okay, per se. His truth, and that's trustworthiness, shall be your shield and buckler. Now, looking this word up and take it in modern day terminology, it appears that it's like a flak jacket. If you know what a flak jacket, if I say bulletproof vest, will you know what I'm talking about? Okay. You shall not be afraid of the alarm by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Now, who don't have to worry about this? The one who's dwelling in that covering of the Almighty.
Amen.
A thousand may fall at your side. In other words, there's going to be things taking place around you. 10,000 at your right hand. Now that 10,000, actually, you look at that in the Hebrew, it's like a myriad, an abundance. In other words, it's not literally a number 10,000, but just an incredible amount, okay? 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Now you think about this, he's saying, I'm offering you protection. You're going to see them falling all around you. You may, but it won't come near you. He says, only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward or retribution of the wicked. Because you've made the Lord Jehovah, who is my refuge or my shelter, even the Most High, your what? Your dwelling place. The place where you live. The place where you camp down. A habitation. Where you abide. All types of words you can use for that, all right? Even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling or your tent. For he shall give his angels charge over you to guard you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Does that sound familiar? Isn't that what Satan quoted to Jesus? If you're the Son of God, jump down. It's written. The Bible says, he says it also says, not to tempt the Lord your God, right? Mm-hmm. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the asp, the young lion and the monster you shall trample underfoot. Serpent, whatever translation, whatever yours says. Because he has set his love upon me. And that means to cling. Therefore I will deliver him. This is another word. P-A-L-A-T. Which means to slip out or escape. Because he set his love on me, therefore I'll help him escape, or I will make sure that he escapes. I will set him on high. Why? Because he's known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will pay attention. And I'm just telling you literally what it says, okay? What does yours say? Answer him. I will be with him in trouble. That's an interesting word, tightness. You ever use the term, man, I'm in a tight place? Well, he'll be there with you.
Amen.
I will deliver him. Now, this word is C-H-A-L-A-T-S, and this means to pull off or to strip. It also carries the meaning to equip. I will deliver him and honor him and show him my salvation. Well, it says with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Does it say how many days there? No, it just says long life. And who's it going to satisfy, you or him? It's the individual. Now, just think about this. And I relate this to my own dad. And I remember, you know, Mama talking to us and all after Daddy died. She was upset because she thought he should have lived many years more than he did. He was 66, I think it was, when he died, which is young. And she was saying, but you said with long life, I would satisfy him. He said, that's what I said. I would satisfy him. Not you, him. And Daddy had just told us, he said, you know, I don't care to live like this. I'd rather go. So was he satisfied? Now that puts a whole new meaning to that. See, we can get upset with losing a loved one or whatever, and one that's walking righteous, one that's walking close to the Lord, one, you know, one that loves the Lord, born again, all this. He says, with long life, I'll satisfy him. He didn't say, I'll let him live to be 80 years, 90 years, 100. You understand, everybody doesn't want to live to be that old. But you do have a promise here that you can take to the Lord. Lord, your word says that if I'm dwelling in a secret place, I'm covered by you, and you'll satisfy me with long life. I'm not satisfied yet. Just thought I'd share that with you. Psalm 92. This is a psalm for the Sabbath, and it comes from a thankful heart, and it's filled with instructional praise. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. We all know that. So I guess we should do that then, shouldn't we? And to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. On an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute, and on the harp with harmonious sound. Now let me ask you something. Does that mean that every one of us should get us an instrument of 10 strings and play it? And we should all get a lute and play it? And we should all get a harp and play it? No, because in other places he talks about playing skillfully, and I think that would eliminate a few of us, wouldn't it? Okay? Now, I've got a reason for saying this. I've been in services where people try to get the corporate body, everybody, to do the same thing. Okay? Now, if God instructs you to, then go for it. But make sure God instructed you, all right? For instance, everybody dance. And that was just happened to be what this particular thing was. So there was a coercion trying to get everybody in the church to dance. Okay? And then the Bible's used to prove the point. Well, it says to praise him in the dance. Now, my contention to that is it also talking about playing on the lute, the harp, and 10-string instrument, praise him on the cymbals, praise him on the organs. On the organ, so if everybody is, better get that right. So if everybody is supposed to dance, and everybody's supposed to play the organ, everybody's supposed to play the drums, everybody's supposed to do this. Don't throw your brain away when you read the Bible. You know, I mean, there's common sense to all this. You know what he's saying? Praise God on any instrument available. Praise God in all various ways, but everybody doesn't do it the same way. You understand? I can't read in the Bible where it says praise him on the bass. But I believe it's okay to play the bass. You understand? Does that make sense to you? Now, this is, it's liberating. Praise God by the means that you have to praise God. And if God's gifted you, given you talents to play these various instruments, I don't even know what a lute is, you know. Let's show you my ignorance, all right? 10-string instrument, I visualize 10 strings strung across the gourd or whatever. I don't know what he's talking about, a dulcimer or did it, I don't know how many strings. It doesn't have, does it have? I don't know. Anyway, you just praise him with your gifts, with your abilities. The bottom line is to praise God in all various ways, right? Okay. Just airing a little pet peeve I have here. Harmonious sound. What does harmonious mean? They're blended together. In other words, it sounds good. It is joyful. Okay? For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. O Lord, how great are your works. Your thoughts are very deep. Now, is that a revelation to you? The Lord's deep. His thoughts are deep. Turn over to Isaiah 55. Look at verse 8, Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8. God's speaking here through the prophet, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than yours. He knows a little bit more than we do. Doesn't he? Actually, he knows a whole lot more than we do. It says, a senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. Isn't that interesting? So if you don't think God knows more than you do, you don't have any sense and you're a fool. Is that what that says? I mean, that's some down-home vernacular, but anyway, that's the essence. When the wicked spring up like grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. And I'm going to tell you what, you need to just put a notation there. When you think that God's being unfair because you're seeing the wicked prosper around you, just look at this verse, and it says that they're flourishing so they can be destroyed forever, forever, forever. Now, I don't want to flourish so I can be destroyed forever, do you? But you, Lord, are on high forevermore. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. You know, if the people today that are so defiant against God could comprehend this, that you will perish. If you're an enemy of the Lord, you're destined to perish. It said, but my horn, what's that? Power. You have exalted like a wild ox. I've been anointed with fresh oil. My eye also has seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked. Who shall rise up against me? I better read that correctly. On my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. Not make that a question. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord. Now, that, if I understand this correctly, that's not like bringing a flower in and out. That's putting it in the ground that takes root and it's a permanent fixture. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit when? In old age. So don't tell God you're too old. You understand? So I've had people say, well, just let younger people do that. You know, we're old, we're aging out, and what you're saying is we've borne all the fruit we want to bear. No, you bear fruit in old age. I believe you bear fruit till you die. That's why we're here, to reproduce. I mean, that's why God made us. That's been the mandate from the very beginning. Be fruitful and multiply. Okay? He said you'll bear fruit in your old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. And then we go to 93, which simply, Psalm 93 is just declaring the majesty of God. And this, you know, somewhat intrigues me when you look at some of these Psalms. It says, the Lord reigns, He's clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed. He has girded Himself with strength. Surely the world is established so that it cannot be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. Now I'm going to tell you what, from time to time it'll do you good to go in here and just take and open your Bible and read one of these Psalms like this to the Lord. Let it come audibly out of your mouth. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, than the mighty waves of the sea. Your testimonies are very sure. Holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever. Now, I can just take that psalm and I can say, Lord, you know, there's a lot of noise going on, but you're louder. There's a lot of strength being displayed, but you're stronger. Now, what are you doing? You're actually encouraging yourself in the Lord, aren't you? And this is a good way to do that. You just start thinking about who God is in comparison to who anyone else is. No one's his match, is there? There's no equal. Psalm 94 is a warning to the wicked, declaring that vengeance belongs to the Lord and the Lord will repay. Matter of fact, I believe this product where Paul quotes from in Romans 12:19 when he's talking about vengeance is the Lord's. It says, O Lord, to whom vengeance belongs, O God, to whom vengeance belongs, shine forth. Rise up, O Judge of the earth. Render punishment of the proud. Lord, how long will the wicked? How long will the wicked triumph? They utter speech, speak insolent things. Oh, they're doing, they're bragging, they're running their mouth. All the workers of iniquity boast in themselves. Here again, I think about ACLU and things like this. Oh boy, they brag about their stuff, don't they? They break in pieces your people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage. They slay the widow, the stranger, and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord does not see. Nor does the God of Jacob understand. In other words, God, where's God? I don't see. So He can't be seeing me. Now look, I like to reply to this. Understand, you senseless among the people. You fools. When will you be wise? And that's pretty straight talk, isn't it? He who planted the ear. Did you ever think about your ear being planted? He who planted the ear, shall he not hear? He who formed the eye, shall he not see? He who instructs the nation, shall he not correct? He who teaches man knowledge. The Lord knows the thoughts of man. Now look at this. They're futile, vain, worthless, useless. But we think we're intelligent, don't we? We just read in Isaiah where he's talking about how high the thoughts of the Lord are above our thoughts. But yet, you know, I mean, human beings in general, it doesn't matter whether it's in this continent or if it's on another continent. We think of ourselves as the intelligent ones, don't we? And the more educated you become, then that makes you more intelligent. So you get to the point that you're so intelligent that you don't need a God. You become your own God. And that's the way society's thinking these days. Senseless. Foolish. He says it's just vanity. Blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law, that you may give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance. How many of you believe you're an inheritance for the Lord? Through Jesus Christ, we're his inheritance, right? He's not going to throw us away. He's not going to forsake us. Let me tell you, it's not for our sake, it's for his sake. He inherited us. Now that's, I don't even understand that. I mean, I just be perfectly honest with you, I don't understand. Humor me. I think he could have inherited something better. You know what I mean? But yet he knows something we don't know. And he says, no, that's a pearl of great price right there. I'm going to just give up all this so I can go down there and purchase that. Such is inheritance. It's amazing. And I still don't understand it, Jim. He said, but judgment will return to righteousness, and all the upright in heart will follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would soon have settled in silence. If it hadn't been for God, that's what he said, I'd have been in major trouble. If I say my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. That's why when you stumble, don't stay down. Call out to the Lord. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity, which devises evil by law, have fellowship with you? They gather together against the life of the righteous and condemn innocent blood. But the Lord has been my defense, and my God, the rock of my refuge. He has brought on them their iniquity, and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. The Lord our God shall cut them off. Someone was telling me today about a man that was put in jail for something that he said he didn't do, and before his trial came up, they actually put him in a prison, I guess because of the magnitude for the security and all this, and in prison was beaten up and killed. And then after the fact, the person came forth and said that it was just trumped up accusations against the man. They gather together against the life of the righteous and condemn innocent blood. It's amazing, isn't it? Tell you something, this is one mixed up society if we don't realize that yet. Psalm 95 instructs us to give thanks and to worship God, our Creator. And indirectly, I believe it's teaching us the importance of knowing God's ways. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with what? Thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. Well, if you're going to dance, play the organ and the cymbals, you're going to have to write some songs too. Psalms, right? I'm being facetious, forgive me. All this needs to be done by those who have the gift to do it, okay? For the Lord is the great God, and all of us can give thanks in some way. All of us can praise God in some way. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God, and the great King above all gods. In His hand there are deep places of the earth. in his possession, actually. There are deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Now, who does this place belong to? I mean, to me it's bright clear. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God. Now, if you don't know who made you, you've been manufactured by the Lord. Okay? He is our God. We're His people of His pasture. The sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. What does yours say? Provocation? You know what that's talking about? He goes on and tells you. It's when they provoked God. As in the day of trial in the wilderness when your fathers tested me. They trapped me. Though they saw my work for 40 years, I was grieved with that generation. In other words, it was time after time. I parted the Red Sea. They tested me. They wanted water. I gave them water. They tested me. They wanted food. I gave them food. They tested me. They didn't like my diet. They wanted meat to go with it. On and on and on. He said, they tested me. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts and they do not know my ways. Now you understand, they saw his works. They saw his miracles. They saw the spectacular, but never was interested in learning the ways of God. And it appears to me that if we're not cautious, we fall in the same trap, that we're looking for the spectacular, but we don't want to know the ways. It's from one fix to another fix, from one miracle to another miracle, without ever learning the ways of God. And the ways that, I mean, he's talking about God's mode of action or his course of life to learn how he operates. He said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Now, I wonder if there's a message in that. If you want to enter into the rest of God, then it's vital to know the ways of God. Could there be an underlying message in there? I believe it's extremely important. If you want to enter the rest of God, then I believe it's vital that we know the ways of God, how God acts, how He operates. That's how we'll get into that rest. And then we look at Psalm 96. This exhorts us to declare the glory of the Lord. And we're admonished to proclaim His salvation and kingdom. And this psalm prophesies about the Lord coming to judge the earth. Well, sing to the Lord a what kind of song? New song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless His name. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. So I'm not the first one that told you that we need to be preaching the gospel. He tells you that in the Psalms before Jesus is born. Interesting, isn't it? Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Remember that. You ever get in a foreign country and they got their gods, they got their temples and all that, don't you fear them. You fear God. For all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord glory. Do His name. Bring an offering. Come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. What does that mean? He rules. The world is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the people how? Righteously. Who's going to do this? The Lord. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad. Sounds like a song, doesn't it? Let the sea roar and all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord. He is coming. He is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with His truth. But He's not here today as the judge. He's here as the Savior. That's why it's so important that we accept His salvation today. Because we will all be judged later on. If you stand, if you bow before the Savior, you'll be able to stand before the judge. You understand? Well, we'll stop there and then we'll pick up with next session. We're going to show you the videos of the trip, the long trek. And then Thursday, I guess, we'll pick back up with Psalm 97.